Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers. I'm your host of Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment, and you're listening to bbsradio.com. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, everybody. That means I greet you in peace. And I'm thrilled to be back again on the air tonight. This evening, I have a special show for you. I have somebody on the show who is just like you. I hope you'll be able to identify with him. He's a person that I think you'll be able to identify with, a family man, somebody who I've known for a good long time now, and I'll be having him with us momentarily. Before I do, his name is Jeff DeLone, by the way, and before I introduce him, I want to just talk to you for a few minutes in my appetizer part about demystifying Tantra a little bit. That's what I do every week. I like to make some points with you to tell you, like, what Tantra is and what Tantra isn't. So this evening, given that I'm having a guest who is a family man, somebody who's a healthy, upstanding, you know, person in the community, I want to talk to you about parents who practice Tantra. Because a lot of times people feel like, and certainly in our world, people get the clue or the message that Tantra is something that goes along with, like, explicit sexuality and prostitution. And let's face it, Tantra has a bad rap. And somehow it has deviated from the sacred and from the cosmic, which it has was meant to be. And so it's kind of like people use the word Tantra now as a buzzword to mean anything really, like, kind of weird sex. And so I have to debunk that every week. I have to tell you aspects of it that have to do with really contributing transformation to your life. And I want to let you know that there are many parents, very responsible parents, who practice Tantra, and they understand the importance of connecting healthy mind and body. And my guest tonight is one such person who has definitely shared some aspects of this practice with his family. We'll talk about it a little bit more as he comes on the show. And I really want you to know that this Tantra is something that can be incorporated into a really healthy and effective and successful life and lifestyle. So that's my appetizer for tonight. And I'd like to now welcome my guest as my main course tonight, as my special. I'd like to introduce Jeff DeLone from Philadelphia. I want to tell you a little bit about him. He's a financial advisor, and he's probably a six-year Tantra student. I think we met maybe 6-7 years ago. Well, we met, and then it took him a while to do the course, so maybe we met 8 years ago. But he's definitely a six-year Tantra student. Right. And he's also a life student of transformation. He's taken many, many courses, and we'll talk to him a little bit about that. He's the father of two wonderful daughters, and I am proud to say that I am also included as an extension of his family. He has pretty much raised them by himself. And I'm just going to bring him onto the show right now. Jeff, are you there?
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to be here. And,
good.
Excited to share whatever I'm going to share tonight. And, yes, I think my first class was 2000, actually, in New York. So it's been about 8 years.
Oh, wow. So we must have met then. We must have met then in, like, 99 or 98 or something.
Yeah, like 98 or 99. I did a couple introductory classes. Yeah.
So 2000, you drove up from Philly to New York, and you took the course in one of the early courses in New York, one of the early Bliss courses.
Right. I did a course in Tribeca in a dance studio with two-day class with, I think it was 8 women and myself. Wasn't too bad.
I keep telling people that if they want to meet men or they want to meet women, one sure way to meet men and women is to come to Tantra classes, because there's more and more enthusiasm, more and more excitement about it every day.
Yeah.
How did you get interested in Tantra? Let's just, you know, how...
Well, yeah. That's a good question. I think in the beginning of my, I guess, awakening, I might go back to when I was 26 or 27, when I had, until then I'd lived a pretty much traditional life, went to high school, went to college, was trying to be the good son and do the right things, and found myself sort of not wondering, you know, who I was, where I was, why I was here. So at 26, I started to search out different modalities to change my life. It sort of fell upon me in many ways. And so I did start with ES training, and I think in 1981. So I started with doing more traditional enlightenment courses that were more, I guess they were more mind-based, more rational thinking, more philosophical, and they did have a big impact on me. And it wasn't until the late mid-90s I started to look at getting into yoga, specifically traditional yoga, and Ashtanga yoga as a way to use my body and spirituality to get together, sort of a combine the two. And my good friend Michael Thussman started with yoga, and then he told me about Tantra, and I didn't know what it was, and I just went to one class for an evening and said, well, this is really different, and I didn't know what it was, but it seemed to attract me, and I was doing other things, but I slowly started to gravitate towards the feeling and the vibration of breathing and moving and releasing with Tantra.
Beautiful. So it had more to do, I think it had to do with the fact that you were starting to really connect with your body.
Well, yeah, I mean, with all the work I've done, I still, looking back and see now through ups and downs of life, is that I really wasn't fully feeling. I was much more in my head and living a good life, but with suppressing feelings and didn't really even know it, as many of us don't, that we're even suppressing them. It's just the way we are and the way I am. And
yeah,
wasn't fully feeling emotions. And you know, I'll never forget the first Tantra class in New York. I think it was 6 or 7 hours, and I went back to an apartment of a friend's, and with Stella, my whole body was vibrating, and there was energy moving through my body. I didn't sleep that night. I was just vibrating all night. And it was, I just felt like my body was coming alive more, and I was starting to feel more that I didn't know that I didn't feel before, that I had been blocking feelings without even really knowing it all this, you know, for 40-some years.
Amazing, amazing stuff. Well, hold on 1 second, Jeff, because I want to let people know how they can call in if they have any questions for you or questions for me, or they want to say hi. So if you're listening, I want to let you know that in the U.S. or Canada, you can call in to talk to Jeff or talk to myself about this topic at 888-228-4494. And if you're calling from anywhere else in the world, you can call us on 877-489-6350. And you can also send a message to me on the BBS Fast Chat. And you have to find that on the website. It's down on the right-hand column of the homepage of BBS. Or it's probably on the right-hand column of my page, if that's what you're looking at right now. Anyway, coming back to the subject, Jeff, so you started to feel, you started waking up the whole ability to feel emotions, the whole ability to actually, when you say you were vibrating, you couldn't go to sleep that night. Was that the night in between the 2 days, or was that after the course?
Right. That was the first night after we had done some emotional release work, and I just went back, and I felt like I was just buzzing without any drugs or alcohol. It was just I was moving and vibrating and felt, I never felt that before at that level. I've done yoga, but it just wasn't the same thing as traditional yoga. It was something quite different.
You know, I tell people, I often tell people that practicing Tantra gets us into a state that people actually take drugs to get into. You know, like people who get high are trying to get into that vibrational state of having the body vibrate and feeling that buzzing and that aliveness and that whatever. I mean, you know, some people take drugs to numb out, but people who, like, try to get high, that high is actually what's capable, the body's capable of producing that high from a variety of things, Tantra being one of them, and Tantra being one that's very intense. People can vibrate for hours.
Yeah, it is really, that's true. It's like I get doing classes, I get as high as I could and better high than any kind of drug or alcohol. And it's, I remember watching the recent Eckhart Tolle video or teleseminar, whatever it was called, and reading the book, and he said in one of the classes, somebody asked him, he was visiting some transformational center, and he said, well, what courses do you recommend here at this course? And it might have been Omega or Kapala or a center. And he said, well, I don't know, they're all pretty good courses, but to be honest with you, I think you're better off reading consciously for 15 minutes every day for a year. That'll have more impact than any course you'll take.
Wow.
And I really got the breath, because I do today and the last few weeks since doing a course, I do breathing every day, and it does make a big difference, and it does quiet my mind. I mean, when I'm breathing deeply, my mind quiets completely. And when I am moving and doing things like yoga boxing, there is a release that that is really unique to Tantra, and emotional release that I find really de-stressing, and I find it exhilarating.
So, and how would you summarize that, you know, like, and we're going to come back to yoga boxing in a minute. Yoga boxing has been mentioned many, many times on this show, and I want to talk about how, I want to share about how you use it with the family, but, and maybe you'll answer it in this question. I sort of the summary of how this, if you look back to, like, before Tantra, and now you look to now, how has it changed or affected your life, would you say? Because there's a lot of things you do, Jeff. You're already an athlete. You know, you tell us what you do, like, athletically.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was always athletic as a college or high school. In high school and college, I competed in swimming and tennis on teams, and then when I completed college, I was always athletic and running marathons and doing triathlons and always active physically, you know, staying in shape and always, you know, learning new things all the time and looking what was the next thing I could learn. So I did a lot of different courses and things, but I had never really tapped into the emotional part of what we're talking about with Tantra. I'd never really gotten into that in any way that I could experience what letting go of emotions and what releasing energy was really like.
So how does it translate? Like, so, you know, if you let go of emotions and you, experience these feelings in your body and everything, how does that translate, like, into a benefit? Like, how would you say that may have benefited you and or your family?
Yeah, I would say it allows me to really embrace my own emotions much more than other people. So I'm able to, someone saying something, my daughter the other day was saying something to me about, I don't know if I want to be back in school. I had just taken her to school, you know, 4 days of traveling and getting an apartment and getting her situated and getting her all ready. And she calls me and she says, yeah, I don't know if I want to be in school. And my first reaction was, that's ridiculous. I'm paying for it. We committed to it. We're doing it. And I was angry. And then she said, well, you're not listening to me. And you don't really, you don't listen to how I feel and what I'm doing. And I was actually able to, within a little while, regather myself and realizing that I could just let go of a feeling. She was just really expressing a feeling. She wasn't saying anything definitive. She was just going through an emotion. And I was able to say, okay, you're right. I wasn't listening to you, and I let go of my emotion and allowed her to say, you know, I'm afraid, I'm upset, and I was allowed her to be with her emotion. And when I was able just to be present without being stuck in anger and upset.
You know, and you said something else too, which is amazing, like you actually were able to give up the attachment to being right. Like, you gave up your position in order to really hear her and go with it and be with what was so with her, instead of, like, forcing your, you know, your ego or your attitude or your being right on her in that moment, which is a very powerful thing.
Yes, and that really changed. And here's the difference I find is that I can know it mentally, and I can know what to do intellectually. However, it doesn't mean I can get out of the trap I'm in of my mind saying she's wrong, I'm right, what's wrong with her. And when I'm able to actually start to breathe again and release the emotion and release the thought, just release it. Release the thought, release the emotion, and then it's gone. And then I'm back to feeling calm and saying, okay, now what's next is to listen to her. So that's an embodiment rather than, that's embodying a being rather than just being a thought and a mind where I'm trying to figure it all out. What's the right thing to say? Well, what's the right thing to do to get her to convince that I'm right? Which is what most of us do all the time, and I still do it, but I'm able to see it and then realize I'm caught in an emotion and a mind game of how do I win? How do I get her to see my point?
So some of the things you're saying are so vital. Let me just let people know who we are for a moment, and I want to come right back to that because it really addresses like an ego issue, and it also addresses like kind of the state of women and men for a moment. So just I'll be right back. Just let me let people know if you just tuned in, you're listening to Tantra Cafe. I'm your host, Laurie Handlers. We're on bbsradio.com, and my guest tonight is Jeff DeLone, who is a financial advisor, a father of two daughters, and a student of transformation extraordinaire, and he's in the Philadelphia area. And Jeff's just been talking about how Tantra has affected his relationship with his daughter and also his relationship with, you know, having to win or having to strategize or figure things out. So, Jeff, you know, that was such an important thing you just said. It's kind of like in the past, some of my guests that were on the show, I had these two guests called the Tantra Warriors for Love. And I said, well, what are you at war with? And they said, we're at war with the ego. We're like trying to make the heart win out so that the heart can get into a state of bliss, and we're at war with that ego where it's attached. And you just gave this pure, perfect example of letting go of attachment to the ego and what the monkey mind is trying to figure out all the time rather than being present. And it sounds like you were able to be present to your daughter in a way that it stopped the chance of a fight. It stopped the chance of a blow-up. It stopped the chance of upset because you weren't trying to impose your rightness on her.
Right, yeah. And it took me a while to see it and to regroup. And I was able to recenter myself and come back with more just listening and being there and realizing that I just need to listen. I don't need to do anything, really. And she doesn't want me to tell her what to do. She's 20 years old. She doesn't want me to say, tell her what to do. It doesn't work. So it's been very beneficial at recentering myself and getting myself back to an even state.
Well, the presence that you're describing and what you're calling getting back to an even state, I mean, really, when we think about human beings, I mean, that's really all human beings want. They want to know that someone's getting them, you know, somebody's actually seeing them and being present to them when they're there, when they're present. And so often people are like two personalities are kind of like having some kind of a struggle, like a power struggle to win. And you just came back to being present in the moment, and that's how we do it with the breath. It's just beautiful. And then the point I wanted to make, which we'll probably be talking about this for a while, even after the break, which is women and men. You know, your daughter is 20 years old. She's a young woman. By the way, I invited her to listen tonight. I don't know if she's listening, but if she is, you know, maybe she'll call in. I wrote her today, and I said, you know, I have your dad on the show tonight. If you want to listen in. So, Aubrey, if you're out there, hi. You know, she's a 20-year-old young woman, and you're a man, and you're her father. And if we just take away the daughter-father for a minute, which you do have an extraordinary relationship, and we'll talk about that in a second, but if we just took away that relationship and said, okay, you're a man, she's a woman, really part of that struggle between women and men has to do with, you know, women having these feelings and changing their minds and, you know, being a little bit in the feminine polarity of change and chaos, and men's polarity in the male of going, you know, we have to make order out of this. I have to fix this. I need to do something. And here you were, you like gave that up.
Yeah, I like the quote. I think it's from David Data, who says, trying to manage a woman's emotions is like trying to manage the ocean.
Right, trying to put a steering wheel on the ocean, he said.
Trying to put a steering wheel on the ocean and trying to deal with a hurricane. It's not going to work.
That's my favorite quote by David Data, and it's true. Yeah. It's, you know, people trying to do something that's impossible. It's just impossible, and that's what causes a lot of the friction between women and men altogether, like just responding in improper ways when all they need to do is be present. So that's just perfect. Well, let me. We're gonna take a station break for a moment. We're gonna honor our sponsors, and I want to just let people know you're listening to BBSRadio.com. This is Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. I'm here with my guest tonight, Jeff Dallone, and we have a lot more to talk about when we come back. If you want to call in, just get a pencil. The number to call is 888-228-4494. And if you're somewhere else in the world other than the U.S. and Canada, try 877-489-6350. We will be back in a moment after our break, and stay tuned. Are you someone who's looking for more pleasure in your life and you've never heard of Eve's Garden? Eve's Garden is a comfortable and elegant environment for women to explore the tools of pleasure and other educational materials. These materials enhance mind, body, and spirit. Eve's Garden encourages women to take responsibility for their own sexuality and clearly understand that bodily pleasure and spiritual joy are one and the same. While in New York City, you can visit the store at 119 West 57th Street, Suite 1201. And now, for a limited time, you can get a 15% discount on everything in stock if you go through evesgarden.com/Tantra Cafe. Go there now. Are you feeling like you just don't get it? All this talk about sex and love, love and sex. Feeling like all people ever think about and talk about is sex. Maybe you are longing for a more spiritual sexual connection. Hey, maybe you are just totally confused about all of it. Lori Handler's new book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, puts the innocence and love back into sex. And it gives Tantra the respect it truly deserves. In this book, you will discover a wonderful meditation on self-love. You will also find fun new ways to develop an intimacy with yourself, whether or not you have a partner. And now, for only $19.99, you can get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. Right now, go to www.sexandhappiness.com and order your copy. Give yourself the gift.
That's sexandhappiness.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Tantra Cafe, and I'm Laurie Handler, your host. And I'm here tonight with my guest, Jeff Dallone, father of two daughters, a man from Philadelphia, financial advisor, and an eight-year student. I misquoted in the beginning of the show. 8 years he's been taking courses of Tantra with me, and a life student of transformation. He's been seeking transformation for quite some time, right soon after college. I think he said something like 1981. Was his first transformational course. He did the S training. He and I have that in common, and many other landmark seminars and other seminars. Jeff, so, yeah, maybe let's talk a little bit about your practice of yoga, because I know you still do that, your practice of Hatha and Ashtanga. I don't know if you still do Ashtanga, but those practices, and as compared with the Tantra, or how one might help the other, or, you know, augment the other.
Yeah. So, I started with traditional yoga, Ashtanga yoga, and Hatha yoga, and then started doing Tantra in addition, and it was really quite different. I guess with Tantra, it brings me to a much, I have to say, higher state quicker. It was able to release tension and emotion fairly rapidly through the breathing. And yoga is more, as you say, physical and male, where I'm working out, I'm exercising my muscles, I'm breathing, and I'm moving, but it doesn't really release the energy the same way Tantra does. It doesn't really, I guess, into the first chakra, second, third chakras, where you're moving energy up through your body as quickly as you are with Tantra. So it's the breath, the breathing in yoga really helped me do deep breathing, but it was doing Tantra where I got into really much more euphoric states, and I was able to feel incredibly high and free and with a quiet mind for long periods of time with the intensity of doing the courses, and then, of course, leaving the course and going out into the real world to see how that would integrate, you know, on a day-to-day basis into the world, into living every day. Because the course is one thing, and it does really, I would have to say, neurologically change you, like cellularly change your body, which to me is different than sitting in a class at a desk and listening, which can make a big impact, but it's different than moving and embodying something in your, I would say, your neurology. And then, you know, for me, leaving a class for 4 days and going back home and feeling, you know, like physically altered from my experience, and then taking that into the world and saying, how do I maintain this kind of transformation? And it's not going to be by doing nothing, for sure. It's not going to stay with me. It may stay with me for weeks, maybe months from the course, but to keep with me for years, it's going to take a daily or at least several times a week discipline of doing the breathing and doing, you know, some yoga boxing.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, I think you've been able to maintain it. There have been a few times where you went off and were challenged in maintaining it, but there you have, of a lot of the students that I have or have met in my time of teaching, you're one of the people who has, you know, maintained keeping it alive a lot. And lately also we've instituted conference calls, and we also have people have buddies, and now you have a few buddies and people that you talk to who it's, I think that helps to have people, you know, keep doing the practices.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've had some people that will do the breath work with me, and it enables me to get to a very high point quickly, and it does give me support on just doing the practices. So it does make a difference to do them. Even if it's only 5-10 minutes a day, that's okay. Doing 21 deep breaths, a certain specific breath, that can bring me to a different state of mind pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's something I like to tell people. Thanks for pointing that out. I like to let people know that it might only be a 10-minute thing, like a 10-minute stint, 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the evening, or 10 minutes at one of those times. And it's such powerful stuff that it makes a total difference in the whole day, and it's only like you're only taking 10 minutes out of your day. You know, some people are like, oh, I don't have time to go to the gym. I don't have time to meditate. I don't have to. This is like so fast. It's fast, and it has a big payoff. It has a really big payoff. Now,
you know, it's funny because I do it in the morning, and I went to Starbucks and get coffee after I work out, and then I sit and I plan my day, and then I do my breathing. I did it in the table in the outside of Starbucks, and people walk by. I don't know what they think, but I'm doing literally like 21 breaths, and I'm able to focus on some specific things. Like I do it in a way like I'm let going of the past, and then I move into being in the present, and then I move into what am I manifesting? I'm manifesting different things in my life as one thought. So it does really enable me to center myself and get myself really focused on, you know, being ready for the day.
Beautiful, really beautiful. Now, we've mentioned yoga boxing, you know, a few times in this call, in this program, and as I said, we've mentioned it a few times on other shows, and so I want to let people know what it is, and then I want to specifically talk about how we've used it with your family, and you've used it with yourself and your family. So let me just let the listeners know that yoga boxing is a practice where we actually look like we're punching. We're standing in a very powerful stance. For those people who know martial arts, it's kind of like the horse stance. We're standing grounded, feet flat on the floor with a big space between them, and our back is straight, our knees are bent, and we're punching out a sentence, or we're punching out the words no, 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 with an open hand. So it's like making a stop sign with the right hand and yelling no, and then pushing out the left hand, making a stop sign, no, 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 no. Or, you know, whatever it is we have to say, you know, I'm mad at you. I don't like it when you... And so we just like punching out the words. And not all Tantra teachers use this technique. This technique was invented by my ex-partner, Joshua Smith, and me in conjunction with him. And we use this in my classes because it's so powerful as a tool to help people move through violent emotions and crippling emotions and emotions that just, you know, when we can't really talk about it, it's just so much emotion coming up. So, Jeff, you've used this technique with both your daughters, no?
Well, yeah, I've used it with Aubrey. I think Krista did it with me once or twice.
Yeah.
With the tapes, you know, watching the tapes. And I have used it just in practice in life to... you know, move energy and to take a stand for myself. And, I mean, historically, growing up, I was really born into the world as a very mild-mannered, nice guy and taught to be nice and not mean and, you know, not, you know, don't get angry. So I was really taught by my family as well as, just genetically, I came out as a person who didn't really express a lot of emotion as a child and as a young adult. So, to me, it was almost wrong to be angry, and it was wrong for others to be angry at me. So to be able to express my emotions and stand for myself by doing this movement was really empowering to me, and it gives me much more strength to say yes and no, and to know, and to actually know when it's yes or when it's no, or when it's I don't know. It really it's helped me in a lot of ways because I can remember going to even exercise or go to swim a lot of laps. I swim. I do hard, you know, cardiovascular weight training. And when I'm really tired, I just simply say to myself over and over, yes, yes, yes. It sounds so stupid, but that one word over and over again just shifts my energy completely. And I'm able to really exert myself in a different way by bringing that forth.
Well, you know, there's a practice called applied kinesiology. You probably know, you know about muscle testing. I don't know if everyone listening knows about muscle testing, but in muscle testing with applied kinesiology, I mean, there have been tests where a person holds their arm up and you push down the arm to see how powerful and strong it is, and then you say the word no, and whoever's pushing your arm down can get your arm all the way down quickly, like it actually doesn't provide a lot of strength to the neuromuscular system in the body. And then when you say the word yes, just like what you said, all of a sudden the arm stays. It's very hard to push somebody's arm down. Like there's powerful resistance and resilience in the body with the word yes. So that's scientific. It isn't stupid. You know, it's like the word yes does empower you much more, and your whole system, your whole psyche, your whole immune system and everything, much more than the word no. One is expansion and the other is contraction.
Uh-huh.
You know? So that's great. So you psych yourself up by saying yes.
Yes, that's the empowerment. And the other side is being able to, you know, release anger, be able to not just express it, but learn to just release the anger, not to stay with it. And that's a different way. It's different than either stuffing it or, you know, covering it up with food or alcohol or just TV
or being nice.
Just expressing it and not getting over it. It's expressing it and releasing it. So it's gone.
So then what happens when you... when you see the person that you might be angry with, like what happens then if you, you know, you've released the energy, you've released
right.
that big emotion, then what happens? What are you finding?
Well, that's a good question because I went through a really hard period where I was really not doing well, and I noticed that I would be very resentful ongoingly towards people in my life, my family, you know, a sister specifically, and it was an ongoing resentment. And it wasn't until I was able to just express the anger and release it that it disappeared, and I thought I would have to go through this litany of things I was upset about, this thing and that thing. But once I released the anger, it was sort of like the whole path sort of changed. I didn't have all these things to say. I didn't have to say, let me tell you the 24 reasons why I'm angry with you, what you did to me the last 25 years. It was, I released the anger, I let it go, and then the conversation and the resentment disappeared. And then when I approached her, you know, in the last, whatever, 6 months or a year, she is responding totally differently to me. She's picking up on the vibration that I'm okay with her. And now she's okay with me. So I'm really look at actually being responsible for, you know, how people are being around me, because it's what I'm vibrating, it's what I'm putting out there is coming back to me.
That's amazing. So that relationship then sounds like it's transformed.
Yeah, my sister and I, we get along well now, and, you know, I see much more clearly some resentment might come up. Just, okay, I'm releasing that right now. I'm letting that go. I'm releasing that. And there was several times where I did stand up for myself and say, you know, no, I really don't want you to bring that up again. I really don't want to hear that again. So I started to stand for myself and say, I'm going to ask her not to do that anymore with me. And I never would say that to my older sister. I can't tell her what to do. So part of it did involve standing up for myself, but in a responsible way, not blaming her and saying, you did it to me. You did that to me. It was more like, I am asking you to do something. So it was being responsible that it's only over here, that if people are upset with me, well, guess what? I'm probably upset with them. So, you know, there's nobody out there but me and my projection of anger or upset or withholding. And so I've really gotten clear and clear about that. When I have a perpetration or an upset, it's really something that I have to clear myself.
That is just the epitome of being responsible, really being responsible. You know, you're in an interesting way, you're outlining the chapters of my book, Sex and Happiness. Because in my chapters, I say be responsible for your anger, like honor your anger and be completely responsible for it. And then I have a law called speak your truth. You know, speak your truth. And it's really, when we speak about it like this, Tantra is really about, you know, building better lines of communication and honoring self. You know, like not leaving yourself out of the equation, not only honoring other people, but because that really doesn't honor them if you're not honoring yourself in relationship with them. It's like you're leaving yourself out. So we'll return to that. We're going to return to this in a moment. I want to tell people what they're listening to, and we're going to take another station break for our sponsors. So if you just tuned in, this is a really amazing conversation I'm having with Jeff DeLone about what it does, what Tantra really empowers you to do in your life, in your relationships, your relationship with yourself and your relationship with others, with your family as in particular in the conversation we're having. So we'll return to this conversation in a moment. I want you to stand by while we take a break. This is Tantra Cafe. Laurie Handler is signing out for a moment. Laurie Handler, personally invite you to come with me on a tantric tour of the heart of India, November 19th to December 1st, 2008. You'll see the Taj Mahal and visit the fabulous Fatehpur Sikri, home of the great Mughal king Akbar. You'll experience Jaipur, the pink city, and visit the sacred lake of Pushkar. Then, at dawn from a boat on the Ganges in Varanasi, you'll see exquisite Hindu prayer rituals. You'll tour Sarnath, where the Buddha gave his first speech after attaining enlightenment, and then you'll explore the exotic Kama Sutra temples of Khajuraho. Finally, you'll shop till you drop in the Paraganj Bazaar in New Delhi. Throughout the tour, you'll learn tantric techniques and principles, and I promise you'll feel a tremendous sense of well-being as we delve into these simple yet potent tantric tools. Please note that no previous experience with tantra or yoga is necessary. I invite you to join me in this unique experience touring the incredible country of India. And I must warn you, this is not your typical tour, and you are not a typical tourist.
For more information about this exciting tantric tour of the heart of India, contact Lori at butterflyworkshops.com or write to her at info@butterflyworkshops.com.
Hi, well, we're back on the air after our station break, and if you were just listening to that song was something that I use in all of my Tantra courses. It's called Samba Trance. I use it pretty much at the very beginning as people are coming into the room and we start doing movement. Again, it's Samba Trance, and it's by a musician named Professor Trance on his CD set. It's a 2-CD set called Medicine Trance. So that's trance, Samba Trance, Professor Trance on Medicine Trance. And it's a very popular CD set. You can get it, you can probably order it online at Amazon or something like that. So we're back with Tantra Cafe. This is Lori Handlers, and I'm here with my guest Jeff DeLone, who I really want you to know that Jeff is a guy like you. You're a person like Jeff, especially if you're a parent, and you're somebody who's really interested in keeping yourself healthy and paying attention to your mind-body connection. And even if you're not, hopefully Jeff will inspire you to do that. And where we left off in the conversation was really Jeff pointing out that he's through Tantra and through one practice in particular, but not only, not exclusive to this practice, he's been able to release the charge of anger, release the emotions, and then actually be able to be very real and authentic in speaking his truth, you know, with members of his family. And Jeff pointed out that he wasn't really raised like that. He was really the overall nice guy. So, Jeff, anything more you want to say about that? Anything else you've noticed, like, in your relationships? What about business relationships or relationships in dating or like that?
Yeah, well,
how have you noticed to make a difference?
Yeah, there's a lot there in terms of business. Really being able to just tell the truth to clients and to face up to the way things really are in money and finance and be straight is difficult because there's sort of always an attachment to, you know, do the deal, make the money, be successful. And, you know, part of releasing is to be allowing that I really can't completely control the other person. And there's a certain way of being when I know I'm that way, when I'm going in really open to serve the other person, that it's all going to work out. No matter how it works out, it's okay, whether they buy from me or don't. You know, I sell financial services, I sell financial products, and it requires a huge amount of trust from people. and people can easily distrust you if something can go wrong, and somebody can tell them something different. So people are always, you know, can be challenging to what you're doing. And, you know, so for me, being able to center myself and be with people in an open, honest way, you know, really builds a foundation of trust with people. And to me, that's the most important part of any, you know, business relationship. Even though I have a very valuable service and an incredible process, which very few people have, nevertheless, that wouldn't do me any good if people couldn't relate to me and I couldn't relate to them, and really be able to listen to people and understand what they want and need. So yeah, it's made a big difference in that, developing that trust over time, and knowing when to let go of people, when to let go of a client, and you know, when to just be able to let go.
You know, may I also say, I mean, when people think of Tantra or transformation or like that, they think a lot about New Agey stuff. They think about people who, you know, like people who don't really make a living. You know, they're doing yoga and they're kind of like hippie types or whatever. And I just really want to say that you are a very successful businessman, and that you luckily have integrated this mind-body connection into the idea that you're also going to be successful in business. And
and here's the big difference is where I didn't follow the prescription that I was taught. What I was taught was you have to work hard to make money. You have to work hard and a lot of hours to make money. That I was taught that. I was like, this is what one does in America. Okay? My father did it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I wasn't willing to ascribe to that. I mean, I work, not that I don't work fairly hard, but I don't work 60 hours a week. I don't work 50 hours a week. I might work 30 hours a week, 35 hours a week, so, or less. To me, it's about, you know, producing the results. And it doesn't really happen. You don't have to use a lot of time to do that. And that's the shift for me, is that I can actually have it the way I want to have it, which is allow free time for myself, be very, very productive, you know, provide a good service, and not have to live by another rule which says we have to work a lot of hours and hard to make a lot of money.
That is just, that's like so great. It's revolutionary. It's really, really great what you're saying. Now, you know, I like to say that Tantra is transformation through pleasure, and it really is about having it all. And you're just, you know, I didn't tell you to say this. You're just saying it.
Right.
You are just saying it.
And now, it doesn't mean there isn't loss. I want to be honest about this. I did go through a period of loss where I had built a very successful business. I mean, I was, in the beginning, I was making like literally $15,000. I'll tell people out there, I wasn't making hardly any. I was eking out a living to get started. So it wasn't like it didn't come to me, you know, easily. It took a while to build it up. And I did get to a point where I unconsciously let down and went the other direction and lost some business and, you know, lost some productivity. So there was a large loss I had years ago where things went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And things broke down in my relationships and my business. And the point is I was able to recover from it, and I realized that it's something I had to go through, having a breakdown. I had to go through the learning curve of things going really wrong. And
yeah,
it wasn't my fault. It was my responsibility. So it wasn't a smooth line from, you know, 1987 when I started till today. It was a line that went up and down, and sometimes went down far, and then it came back, but I'm coming back in a different way. I'm coming back in a, you know, in a way less attached, and in a way stronger than I was before. And you know what? It happened, and things happen in life that you know, you just can't predict what's
right.
going to happen.
Would you say that these practices have helped you let go of fear?
That's really a good question. Fear was something that was always lurking. And was part of it was holding on to emotions and holding on to fear of, you know, primarily other people approving of me or, me trying to control the situation or make other people happy, and the fear of not being able to do that. So, you know, through the last several years specifically, last year or two, is being able to release fear. You know, have fear and release it has been really beneficial. And knowing that no matter what comes up for me, that I can actually release it, whether it be a feeling, a fear, an anger, or just be these thoughts that come. Something's wrong with
it. Or judgment, yeah, judgment like that.
I can release the thought. I can release the feeling. I don't have to stay with it. I can actually let anything go. In a way, the fear, in a way, is what brought me down, is being full of fear and not letting go of the fear. Holding on to the fear like it was something I needed to have to live. You know, this addiction of fear, this adrenaline that people are running around working so hard in fear that if something goes wrong, they lose their job or they don't let up, that things will fall apart. And what I see for myself is that, not that I don't have fear, I do, but I'm able to release it so I don't live in fear very long.
So, if you were to say that you had a favorite practice, you know, or something that brings you back to the centering that you're talking about, because we're kind of winding down now, so I want to give people a chance to, like, hear from you if there's a favorite practice that you have, or a tip, any advice that you have about people looking for Tantra, or anything, you know, to kind of recap it, because this has just been a beautiful interview.
I talked to a friend tonight who, you know, that I was talking about, having a hard time, and what I said was, it can start slow. It can start with, you know, breathing for a minute and feeling better for 3 minutes, and then 5 minutes, and then 10 minutes. So it can start in a small way to do what they call clover breathing, which we'll learn in the first course, where you're breathing for 5 or 10 minutes, but that can make you feel good for 15, 20 minutes. And then it's building on a practice that can grow and have it be, you know, more full throughout your whole day.
Wonderful.
Throughout your whole day.
Wonderful.
So I would say the cobra breathing and, you know, specifically the yoga boxing, which releases emotions, those two things I can say, you know, help me the most. And sometimes it's only 5 or 10 minutes that I do it.
That's great. So yeah. Let me tell people where they can find out about those things. And, Jeff, I really want to thank you for being on the show tonight. It's really so rewarding to talk to you and to actually sum up these experiences and what's happened for you. It really moves me. Really moved by this interview. So
you're
thank
welcome.
You
I'm
so
glad
much.
To be on there.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Thank you so much for being on the show. Let me tell people a little bit about, if people want to get in touch with you for financial services, can you give us a website?
No, you just go. Yeah, send me an email. It's J Delone, which is D-E-L-O-N-E, at Delone, D-E-L-O-N-E, financialgroup.com. So if you have a question about Tantra, question about me, or anything, I'd be glad to respond to an email, J Delone at DeloneFinancialGroup.com.
Wonderful, wonderful. And for those of you who are wondering about Cobra Breath, or you're wondering about yoga boxing, you can go to my website, butterflyworkshops.com, and you can find out about classes that might be in your area. You would be looking at the Bliss course, my beginner's level Tantra. And also you can purchase the yoga boxing DVD on my site as well, on Butterfly Workshops, and you can find out more about it. There's all kinds of information about that on my website. I really want to thank you all. I want to thank my sponsor, Eve's Garden, and I want to thank my station, bbsradio.com. I want to thank my guest, Jeff Delone, and I want to thank all the listeners out there. I know we've been competing this evening with Bill Clinton, Joe Biden, and supporters for Barack Obama. We're competing with the Democratic National Convention tonight, but if you were listening, we were happy to have you, and hopefully some people will catch the show on Sunday or on my website, tantracafe.com. Much love to you, and I'll see you next time.